We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 363. What a weekend it was, all culminated in Scott and I both recording from basements in parts unknown. Scott, your voice is shot. I am still feeling the effects from Saturday, driven back and forth from Manhattan about three times today. So, you know, typical weekend, I guess.
Yeah, I'm done. It's a miracle that we're recording this show, honestly. We are both recording from basements, you and your in-laws, me at my sister's. So we're both, this is perfect for a podcast, right? Like, we're now in the basement recording.
This
while
is the cliche.
Everybody else lives their life. We're like, guys, gotta go record a podcast. I'll be back. We're gonna go to the basement.
We are now. Literally the podcasters from the basement. Yeah, we are that cliche.
But yeah, unbelievable weekend. Like, really an unbelievable weekend. Starting with the event on Saturday, going out there with 165-170 people, and you know, the way that it went, it was just fun hanging out with everybody. Obviously, we had the awesome pregame at Billy's. Beautiful. The Blue Point sponsorship was amazing. Those guys were awesome. And then culminations, two walk-offs. Hello.
Yeah, the event we kicked the event up a notch. This one with the pregame party, moving it to Billy's, which we've said all along, the space at Billy's is ideal for something like a Bronx Pinstripes pregame. The Blue Point sponsorship, where they kicked in two free beers. We had the Pinstripe Pilsners flowing, the Toasted Lagers flowing. Everyone was having a good time. It was beautiful out. It was not too hot, unlike the last event, so it was comfortable sitting in the stands. And then the walk-offs. Your guy, LeMahieu, gets it on Saturday. Couldn't have worked out any better for you. Number 24 of the season.
I lost my goddamn mind on that home run.
Everyone did. And when Judge hit it too, I don't know if you've seen the replay of that yet, but it's just very, very clear on the TV is our section, because he hit it
pandemonium.
He hit it directly, and he hit it to like basically section 204 or 205. Yeah. Maybe next one, Judge, you know, aim a little bit more towards center field. Get it in
206. 206. 204.
It was, yeah, right. The other way around. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, it was great. And then the LeMahieu one, it was just you know, you're waiting for it, because you're waiting for all these things to happen. And when LeMahieu gets up there, I saw a quote, and again, I've been kind of out of touch with like what's been happening in media. I've been just kind of, because I've been at the stadium pretty much the past couple of days. But I heard a quote that said, I think it was Boone who said this, that he was 0-for-4, and LeMahieu doesn't go 0-for-5, so they were expecting something good, you know. And when you see him up in that moment, you're just like, okay, something good's probably going to happen here. Let's be ready for it. And it did.
Well, when LeMahieu was coming up, everyone stood up. And I said, and I know a few people said, this is our MVP. This is our MVP. He's going to do something right now. What was it? First pitch, boom, game over. And it kind of, just from a also versus Oakland perspective, they finally got a win against that team. It had been 0-for-4. I was at the game Friday night. They got their asses kicked on Friday night. So to come back in that game on Saturday, get the walk-off win, and then look dead and buried today, late in that game, come back and win again. It's huge against a very tough team. Oakland's a tough team.
Well, and Manaea looked good today. First, I think that was his first start.
He could be a game changer.
Tommy John,
he could be
a
game changer for them.
Oh, absolutely, because he looked really good. And if he is that guy and he can get length for them, that's a dynamic pitcher they can add, especially if they're in for a one-game wild card game and they're able to throw a guy like Manaea and could get some length, because he can be dominant. But no, they, you know, I wouldn't say they were dead and buried, because it was like, you know, nothing was really happening. You know, they had some opportunities that they couldn't take advantage of, but for whatever reason, I know we're going to talk about this. Like, we're rolling in guys that we just picked up off the curb from other teams, AAA, and then Chance Adams is coming in to throw in a what was a 0-0 game.
Well, no, Dahl comes in the 0-0. Yeah,
I know, but that's what I mean. That started it with Dahl when he came in. It was 0-0 game. I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, Jay Happ pitched a good damn game just now.
Finally,
we win this one.
Finally, pitched a good game.
Yeah, he pitched a good game. He looked really good. I thought, you know, I couldn't see the exact strike zone. It didn't look great again. I don't know what TV told me.
I'm so freaking tired of this. Like, everyone loses their mind on social media about the strike zone, and I get it, but I'm just tired of it. And I blame the umps, but well, I can't get mad about this every week, because every week we say the same thing. We have the same conversation. Oh, the umps are shitty. The umps screwed us again. Like, how long are we going to talk about
this? I'm not saying they're screwed, so that's not even what I'm talking about. I was curious, more curious for my own sake. Like, if the strike zone was...
I'm taking my frustrations out on you bad. Right now. But no, people... I mean, that's the complaint again. And then the one call I will say...
The Luke Voit check swing. What are we doing? Ask the freaking umpire at third base.
It was not even borderline. He didn't swing.
He didn't swing.
But you always... I don't care. I can at least live with it if they go down to the base and ask the guy at either first or third base. Then at least you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're going through the protocols, and that ump is going to make the decision. But when it's the home plate ump and he calls it and he makes the wrong decision, then I lose. Then it's frustrating. Luke Voit should have been pissed.
It was a big moment. Absolutely. No doubt about it. He was going down to his leg to take off his shin guard to lay it on the ground so that the bat boy come pick it up and walk his ass to first base, because there was no question about it. And while I was sitting in the stands, I was behind home plate towards the like third base side a little bit. I could tell from where I was sitting it wasn't a damn swing. It didn't look like a swing at all. And I didn't know if the bat came through too much, you know, when you look at replay. And I saw the replay.
You can always tell by the I forget when you said this. I think you were like, Aaron Judge is not a good actor. No players are good actors. The players are always going to tell you if they swung or not. They're going to try and fake out the ump. But normally they can't fake out the ump. Luke Voit knew he didn't swing and went down to take off his shin guard and was going to run down to first base. And yeah, it's frustrating. And I don't know what would have happened that inning, because that would have been first and second, right?
Yeah.
With two outs. Yeah.
Two outs.
So who knows what happens later in that inning, but what it... Say the Yankees hadn't come back against Hendricks in the ninth inning, then you could have said, well, that even if they didn't score in the eighth inning, maybe they make them throw another 9, 10, 11 pitches, and then he's got a harder ninth inning. But, you know, they ended up winning anyway with the Guardy and Mike Ford. Mike Ford now has double-digit home runs. I feel like he's barely played any games, and he's got double-digit home runs.
I had a gut feeling about that. When I saw Guardy go deep, I was like,
hold on, was that a fat joke? You had a gut feeling?
No, because I don't think he's fat. But I actually recorded that one. That was like that was on the last life of my battery on my phone. And I'm like, I'm getting this because I feel like he's gonna go deep. And boom, sure shit, he hits the ball, goes around, phone dies like after he crosses home plate. So I couldn't even get to it until like hours later. But it was awesome. It was fun. That was so. This weekend was like extra special for me too because of the whole BP crew thing, and then today being it was Kemp's first game at Yankee Stadium. And, you know, you're going through it. It was a 0-0 game for a while. So it was pretty not that impressive for a little kid. Not that he really
knows. Yeah, I was going to say, does he know the difference between a 0-0 and a 5-5 game?
No, but he just sees things happening. He sees people cheering and he gets pumped up about that and starts, you know, going excited. He calls out Didi. I mean, he was awake for that. But the cool thing was that he was awake in the very, very beginning, like for the first 3 or 4 innings, passed out, just knocked out, which was good for us. Trust me. And then he woke back up, gave him a little cotton candy, a little smelling salt to get back up in like the 8th inning and saw the whole thing. And it was cool because one of our guys, a guy that Nick, who helps us out with tickets for the events and stuff, came up and gave me the manila envelope with the certificate for Kemp's first game.
I saw the picture on Twitter. That is pretty awesome. And I think it's hilarious that you're holding up the little certificate and he's just out cold.
Don't. Yeah. it was a blast, man. It was just a lot of fun. It was a good time.
You got to step foot on Yankee Stadium hallowed grounds too.
Yeah, I did. I went through. We were going down there to meet Maben, and the timing was weird. They because of the Mussina thing, and they kicked everybody out. So even before we could go and say what's up to him, we were out there for like, I don't know, a couple minutes, and then walked back up.
You grab a little dirt, a handful of dirt.
A little dirt. Yep, and stood behind home plate, got some. Closed my eyes, saw some of those big moments, and put myself in there. It was pretty neat.
Yeah. Have you ever been on, I know they're not the new Yankee Stadium field, but did you ever do the tour of the old Yankee Stadium?
You know, I don't remember, honestly. Like, I think I did, but I can't remember the time or the place or who I was with, but I feel like I have. But it very well could be that I made it up in my mind, too.
So I did a tour at the old Yankee Stadium, I want to say.
It would have been when I was very
young. I did it in, like, maybe 2005, 2006. And the old stadium on the tour, they would let you walk on the warning track and sit in the dugout. And I know from talking to people, I actually talked to someone at the event on Saturday. They did a tour on Thursday at the stadium, and they don't let you go down on the warning, even on the warning track. Which I feel like if you're gonna charge money for a tour, and especially if it's an off day, like the Yankees aren't playing that day, at least let them take a few steps on the warning track, right?
Yeah, because it's really cool. Once you get down there, then you can look up and you're like, wow, this is the perspective of what the fans or what the players see. And they see all the fans, and I'm looking over at section 205. I'm like, damn, that looks like it's very close. It looks like we're on top of the field, which we kind of are because it's the short porch. But you get that perspective of how close things really are when you're on that field. And you can feel the crowd, like, you know, collapsing in on you. So we really are pretty much on top of these guys. Even if you're in seats further away and you feel like you're a little bit further away, when you're there, man, it's like you're when you're on the field, you can tell how close these guys are.
Well, it was even more like that in the old stadium, because I remember standing, I had my arms over the railing in the first base dugout, and I looked up behind me, and you literally, like, the lip of the third deck in the old stadium is basically above your head when you're in the dugout. There, like, it is that
close. It was
close.
Way more steep. Yeah. No doubt. It was way more steep. They had the net. So when I was sitting behind home plate today, I looked up and I noticed the net wasn't there. I don't think I had noticed this before, but in the old stadium, obviously they had the net going from the press box to the home plate. And because literally people would fall off that shit because it was so high and steep, you would have people fall off of it. No more net though. So I guess they're trusting people in the angles.
Drunk,
a little bit better.
Drunk people going, tumbling down from the last row of the upper deck.
Yeah. I remember going up there, you know, when I'm a kid, because I did sit up there a lot, and it's steep.
It was,
like, you got to watch your steps when you're going up and down.
It was pretty scary. I never sat in the top row at the old Yankee Stadium, but I walked up there one time when we were in the upper deck, and holy shit, was it kind of scary.
Yeah, it's up there. It was definitely up there for sure, and it was the angles were steep.
So another just fantastic event, the last one of the regular season, but not the last one of 2019.
No, things have changed. So we're doing playoff tickets. We talked about this before. We have a lot more clarity now. I met with those guys today, actually, and kind of got all the details. So we have a lot of tickets for the ALDS, section 205 and 206. It's important that you guys look for, if you've come to an event. So the way we're doing this is that we're incentivizing everybody who has come to a BP Crew event. If you guys have come, you've been part of our group, then you've already received an email to kind of get an inquiry for how many tickets we're looking at. But this week the tickets are going on sale. All the pre-sales for season ticket holders are happening on September 10th, which is not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. So we're going to be a week ahead of that. I'm not sure what day we're actually going to release these tickets, but it will be early this week, Tuesday or Wednesday. And so just keep an eye out. I don't want to say too much because I don't have the exact details planned out exactly how we're going to release these, but we are going to release them. It's going to be a certain time, and you're going to, people are going to get an opportunity to go in on our website and purchase the tickets. And from there, we do it like we would do a regular event, where the Yankees put all the tickets in our account and then we transfer them to each individual person electronically. So we're going to do that for the first event, which is, we have, I'll tell you right now, we have just under 500 tickets for the ALDS. So we have section 205 and section 206, and the majority of it, first couple of rows are not ours. They're already spoken for, but all of those tickets are going to be BP Crew, the whole thing. We're going to do an event shirt for this one. It's going to be, we're going to do a white shirt that I got to figure out a design for it. So we're going to block out those two sections all in white. It's going to look amazing. National television. And I have confirmed this. This is confirmed. This is Yankee history. This is the biggest group that has ever come to a postseason game in Yankees history.
Is that what Nick said today?
Confirmed. Yankees history. This is Yankees history.
We're making history here, folks.
We're making Yankees history, people.
And
the BP crew.
The sea of white shirts especially stands out on TV because we got the screenshots coming from Saturday from the home runs. So
yep.
I think the white shirts are a good way to go.
Whiteshirts are a good way to go. Absolutely. So just keep an eye out for emails, because that's how we're going to communicate. We'll obviously put things on social media saying to look out for them, but all of the stuff that you need is going to be in your emails. So if you've come to a bunch of events, we're literally going down this now and going to people. If you've come to, you know, X amount of events, a lot of events, you're going to get a higher priority than others. We're going to kind of tier it that way. But there's going to be a lot of tickets in the ALDS, and then we've also committed to tickets for the ALCS and for the World Series. So a good chunk of them for two games in each of those series, home game one and home game two. So God willing, and we get past this and move forward, we will be there as well. So I'm pumped up, man. This is going to be a pretty special postseason. So let's hope the boys cooperate and get some magic.
Yeah, and speaking of getting there, I started to do some... some scoreboard watching, some standings watching. What is it too early to start doing that, to start thinking about who they might be facing in the ALDS?
The ALDS is tough, I think. Yeah, obviously, because you don't know who's going to be playing.
It's
I love calling them play-in games now.
When we're in it, it's the playoffs.
It actually feels like it really kind of didn't feel like the playoffs then.
No,
now this feels like it's going to be the playoffs.
2015 didn't, but 17 and 18 did.
If the game felt like a playoff game, but I'm saying it's just so short, it doesn't feel like the whole thing.
So right now,
I'm getting robbed.
Right now, as it stands, the Yankees are a game up on Houston for best record, but the Yankees have to finish a game up on Houston to secure best record, because Houston has a tiebreaker. Right. So just think about it that way. I think that could be significant towards the end of the season, because they're neck and neck. Verlander threw a no hitter today. I don't know if you saw that. I know you were at the game, but
I did see
third,
that. Yeah,
third
I
of his
that.
Career. I hate that I like Justin Verlander.
I hate that he lived two doors down from me in college, and I would take two-story beer bongs at his house. I hate that.
But
I hate that he's out there throwing no-hitters for some other team, and he lived two doors down from me in college.
Yeah, how does that make you feel?
But, you know, I'm in the basement of my sister's house podcasting.
but we're making history. I guess
we're making history.
He's three no-hitters in his career.
He's not making Yankees history in a good way.
That's true. But if we're looking at Cleveland, Oakland, and Tampa, who are duking it out, Minnesota too. So those four teams, any number of those teams could be playing in this one-game playoff, which means the Yankees could potentially be facing one of those teams in the ALDS. Or if the Yankees don't get the number one seed, then they could be playing the winner of the AL Central in the first round of the playoffs. Who are you most afraid of out of those teams?
I don't want to play Cleveland.
Even after the difficulties that the Yankees had with Oakland this weekend and last week in Oakland.
First of all, I don't like choosing opponents, okay? Let's just get that straight.
I'm not saying
I don't like
choosing opponents, but I think it's fair to look at these teams and say...
When I look at firepower, when I look at teams that can get really hot and have multiple ways of hurting us, I see Cleveland as by far the biggest challenge. You know, obviously not talking about Houston, but Cleveland being a potential opponent. Yeah, because they could get healthy. They have pitching. They have
so does Oakland, though. Oakland proved they have starting pitching these last six games, and now if Manaea is back and can, like you said, give him five. I mean, he gave him five-plus innings. He gave him five innings today. What if he works up and he can go seven innings in the playoffs?
I understand. I understand that they've shown well in these games against us, but I'm sorry. When I see
you
who these guys are,
and can you? That's what it comes down to.
I don't have, he just throws shit in the wall, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But Manaea is a legitimate threat. These other guys are getting
fires.
You know,
Brett Anderson, you're not afraid of these guys.
No, I'm not afraid.
Brett Anderson looked damn good on Friday, shut the Yankees bats down. And there were some innings in that Friday night game where I went down to take a sip of beer, and I looked up, and there were two outs in the inning. That's how fast the Yankees were going down.
The Yankees can make adjustments. The fact that they've seen these guys and had some struggles, I like that. Because if we go into a series against these guys, you know, I just think there's another time seeing them will help them big time. But a guy like Manaea has the stuff to overpower you, and also could come in there and just and do it. The saving grace, I think, for him is that the Yankees are so right-handed heavy that they can almost match up for him. And if he's having, you know, misses a couple of spots, you know, they could definitely make him pay. But look, again, you look at Cleveland, Cleveland's got the majority, especially if they get even more healthy and they continue to get guys back. That's the team that has the pedigree to me that could be a real problem.
Yeah, wasn't that stat the Yankees were 13-0 in their last 13 starts against lefty starters?
Yeah, that's a good stat. I like that number.
That stopped on Friday night.
Got it back, I guess, today. Even though they really didn't get do much against.
Yeah, can you say that they beat the lefty starter today?
No, but I can say they won the game.
Speaking of lefty starters, Sabathia leaves the game. Is that the last time we saw him pitch?
After listening to him talk, I heard him actually talking at the U.S. Open. I don't know if you caught that interview. It was my family's big tennis fan, so we were watching one of the matches last night. And it was CeCe, Hicks, Mabin, and someone else, all at the tennis match for the Coco, the young girl, the young mm-hmm. American girl. So they were all there, and they were interviewing CeCe and talking to him about what was going on. Oh, and Stanton was the other guy there. And CeCe just sounded like he'll be back soon. Yeah, and Mabin. He sounded like he was gonna be back, but you know, who knows? Will he be back and pitch? Maybe.
So here's what I'm thinking.
It's not going to be much.
I
feel like he needs a swamp.
Yes.
He needs a swamp.
He's not going to be. I don't think he's going to be on the playoff roster. What I think they'll do is they'll get him back for a start late in the season to get his standing ovation at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I think that's possible. I was thinking about that. I was also, when I saw that he went out, I'm like, okay, who's he going to take the ball from and do like the, you know, like a little Jeter and Pettit thing? Is he going to go out there and somehow, how are they going to get CeCe out on the field again if he doesn't pitch? Because they're going to have to do that, right? Mm. So they're going to have to be creative with how they
do
that.
I think if he's not healthy enough to pitch again, I think he'll just say, screw it, I'm going to go out there. Because rosters are expanding at this point anyway. They're expanded. So it's not like he's going to really be taking somebody's roster spot if he comes back for a game. He'll just suck it up and go pitch a first inning and then call it a day. But
that's a show, though. I feel like CeCe wouldn't want to put some.
But he's only
like
pitching
that.
3 innings anyway.
I know, but here's the thing. The thing, when you're looking at a guy like that, if he's not healthy and not contributing, and look, we all love CeCe. I'm not going to throw out these caveats every time I say something about it. The guy's old. He knows it. His knee's totally jacked. He's had how many quarter zone shots now when you're not supposed to have that many in a row? Like, he understands what's happening. It's literally last leg. We're going and just trying to stretch this out as humanly long as humanly possible. He doesn't care about the ramifications afterwards. So he's going to shed a bunch of weight. He's going to go out there, get in good shape after he retires, and the knee will probably be less of a problem anyway. But you know what? If he is on the roster and pitching one inning and doing stuff like that, he is taking up someone's spot. He could be taking up a guy like Davey Garcia's spot, who could be a bullpen guy that we'd want to see and see how he could throw it towards the end of the season. He could be taking away an audition for a guy. You know, you never know.
And I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Not that I don't think it's. I just don't think he would do it. But I do think he's probably going to come back after some rest and
yeah, I was thinking about it on that Friday game. I was thinking that might have been when I saw him walk off the field, that might be the last time.
It's very possible. It could be. It wouldn't surprise me either way.
Yeah, and it's not to say, I thought Sabathia would be a little better this year because he contributed to the team in more significant ways the last two seasons than he did this year.
Right.
And I just think injuries.
He pitched pretty well last year too, though. I mean, he had some good when he was out there. And
no, I said he contributed in the last 2 years more than he did this year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's definitely
because
fair.
At least when he was out there the last couple years, he was better than he was this year than when he was out there.
The surprising times that have CC this year is when he's pitched well for me. So I've seen him pitch poorly, and then I see the knee and what's happening to it. And so then when I go out and we see him pitch like he did against the Dodgers, like that was surprising to me that he was able to stay
four
in the
innings.
Game as long as he was.
4 innings. That was a 4-inning start.
Well, that's where we are. That's where I am with him right now because I feel like anything that he gets, because when he's not right and when you're seeing him struggle, like it gets bad fast. Right. He looks almost non-competitive. So, yeah, I mean, it's nice to see, but it is what it is, man. He's an older guy on one leg who's not small. Like, he pulls himself out of that game. He knew that that he couldn't compete.
And it put the team in kind of a bad spot. Okay, also, I don't know how long he was going to pitch in that game, but he put the team in a spot where they had to go to the bullpen earlier than expected. Canely had a bad night. He gave up 3 runs in the sixth inning. That was the turning point. And then Guerin comes in, and the game gets out of hand, and the Yankees couldn't really do anything from there on out. And I think it had a trickle-down effect to where, because they had to use Canely and some of the big guys, really just Canely was the big guy used on Friday night, and then Canely and Ottavino and Britton and Chapman all had to pitch on Saturday in that extra inning win. That's why we saw Ryan Dull making his Yankees debut in a 0-0 game in the seventh inning on Sunday afternoon.
I looked up and I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, we're not seeing Haps not in the game, but if I'm going to be totally honest with you, I first saw the name. I'm like, I forgot that we acquired him, because I remember someone making a bad joke. I think it was either Brian Hoke or one of the beat guys was making a bad joke about the name Dull. So that's what sparked my memory. So I guess it was not a terrible joke because I remembered it. I'm looking up, I'm like, what are we doing here? This is a 0-0 game. Jay Happ just pitched the game of his life. Right. Let's go out there and get this guy a W. We could absolutely.
Well, what did they think was going to happen? Because he immediately loads the bases and gives up a double and then another run after that. That is what I thought was going to happen. Was Ryan Dull was going to give up runs?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So the Yankees are on a streak still this year, and this is obviously something they're making a point of doing. They don't use arms 3 days in a row.
Right.
So that means Canely was out, because Canely pitched Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. They could have used Ottavino in that spot, but they were probably saving Ottavino for the eighth inning. See, this is where I hate
the saving guys,
because they got lucky and they won the game. They came back. But you could save a guy and then never end up using him. Why not go to Ottavino in the seventh inning? Because what if the Yankees score 3 runs in the bottom of the seventh inning? And then you can go to somebody else. When it's the seventh inning, I understand fifth inning, maybe you try and steal a couple outs in the fourth or fifth inning. You don't steal outs in the seventh inning.
That's the thing. When I have a lineup like the New York, and this is semantics. They won the game.
That doesn't justify the decision, though.
No, I understand that, but I think at the same time, like, it was fine. Look,
well,
so
it
here's
worked
where
out,
with this.
But like,
I know when I saw Ottavino go in the game is it the eighth inning or ninth inning?
He pitched the top of the ninth.
The top of the night. When I saw Ottavino pitch the ninth, I'm like, what are we doing here? Why is he pitching in this game? I figured he wasn't going to be even available today. He should have been in the seventh. Because who knows? He gets a quick 1-2-3, not throwing many pitches. You never know what he could do. And also, you never know what the Yankees are going to do. For me, keep it a 0-0 game as long as humanly possible. Keep them at 0 runs and let the Yankees offense go out there and do their thing. So the fact that they let this dull kid in there, and just immediately
came
give up runs
from
and Chance,
Oakland,
and then Chance Adams. So maybe they were banking on like a revenge game, and then Chance Adams, who just gives up runs practically every time he comes in. I'm like, we're punting this game at this point. Why are we doing that?
So
this is Kemp's first game. Can we not do that, please?
Dull comes in to face four, five, and six in the Oakland lineup. Why not use Ottavino to face the middle of their order, and then Dull to use the bottom of the order in the eighth inning? Because in that scenario, in a 0-0 game facing the middle of the order in the seventh inning is higher leverage than facing the bottom of the order in the eighth inning. Just because it's the eighth inning doesn't make it higher leverage.
I mean, I'm totally 1,000% with you on this one. I don't know. For me, I'm using Ottavino early. But again.
And Britton probably also.
I really don't care.
Britton left the game on Saturday with a calf cramp. It was nothing, but they were probably trying to avoid him too.
I think they were trying to avoid a bunch of guys. That's why when we saw him come out, I'm like, okay, this is a day that they're just going to either have to swing the bats a lot more and steal one. And these random dudes are going to have to come out and get some outs and next bullpen up. And that's what was going to happen. I mean, and I understand that at certain days, Boone has to do that. Boone has to say on a given day, I might have to go to some guys that I don't trust like I do the other ones, and they're going to have to figure it out and get a win.
Okay, but... So if you're not going to use Ottavino in the seventh, how about using Cortez? Cortez has a higher on the pecking order than Dull.
I guess, but you're not. Again, now you're going back and forth like with two guys.
Cortez, at least you
would still complain about.
I would have understood Cortez in that inning.
After Ottavino came back out, I'm looking at Ottavino, and that's the only guy I wanted to say.
I would have even extended Jay Happ over Ryan Dahl.
I would have, too.
So it worked out. They got the walk-off.
How many pitches did Happ
throw? He had 98.
Okay, well, I probably wouldn't have then. Especially the way he pitched. If I see Happ going out and a clean 98 against a team that's, you know, scored some runs, I'm fine pulling.
He only gave up the one
hit.
I would have gone
to Ottavino. Yeah.
And if he had come in out and given up a solo home run, you would have destroyed him. Boone. So I get it. But there's no one who thought Dahl was a good move, and it turned out to be a bad move. So that's why I'm criticizing Boone for that. Like I said, the fact that they get the walk-off with Gardner and Mike Ford doesn't justify the decision, but I'm happy they won, and I'm happy they got the walk-off against Hendricks also, who had been very effective against them in Oakland, had a couple of saves out in Oakland. And the Oakland bullpen is not great. Other than Hendricks, they're not a great bullpen. So that is actually the weakness of the A's, is their like 7th and 8th inning.
Right, and... Oh, right, and their starting pitching is nothing scary. But
it's been very good this year.
It has been very good. These guys get into a series with the New York Yankees, and I'll feel very confident.
Their starting pitching dominated the Yankees in all 6 games.
It's fine. I still am okay with it.
Be careful what you wish for.
No, see, don't put me in that corner. Don't put baby in the corner. That's the thing when you're looking at opponents, like, you know. Circling people. I'm not circling anybody. But Oakland doesn't scare me.
Okay. So no one scares you other than... No one scares you then. No, even Houston doesn't scare you.
Oh, no. They scare me.
Do you think the Yankees can beat Houston in a 7-game series on the road?
Yes. And the Yankees can beat anybody.
Okay. Would you feel confident that they can... If they're playing the ALCS on the road at Houston, are you confident going in?
Yeah, I'm confident in the team because I think they're a good team, and I think they can.
They're a good team.
But here's
what I'm trying to ask you is how
am
much
I less confident than on the road?
How
of
much
I
should
am.
They be but, trying to get home field advantage at this point?
Yeah, they should. They should absolutely do it. They should go all out for home field advantage. What's going to happen though is you're going to see the end of the season, and now we're looking at the different scenarios of timing and who's healthy and who's not, and do we have to rest guys at this point because, you know, there's a week left and we're going to rest for the ALDS, and then which is better, do we rest them or do we go all out and get this home field advantage? The fact that they're not going to have to play in a play-in game, I think helps them a lot because now they can kind of like set their sights on what they are, and in Houston too, but they can kind of like, they know what they're doing and they'll have opportunity to rest because there's another game in front of them.
Yeah, and in the meantime, they got Voit back on Friday, but Urshela goes down. We know, obviously, we just talked about CeCe. Quick note on Urshela. This means he's definitely not going to be qualifying for the batting title.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
And he's...
No, he needed it
he
to
needed
go
to pretty much,
perfectly
he,
smooth.
He pretty much needed to get the maximum number of plate appearances between now and the end of the season to qualify. He has a .331 batting average. But that was a fun storyline we were all following. Didn't work out. Encarnacion is rehabbing. Started his rehab on Sunday. Went 1-for-4. With a bloop single. He got hit by a pitch, but he said he's 100% fine. Wrist is feeling good. The big news is, though, Severino started in the game on Sunday. It pitched an inning plus, gave up three hits, 2 runs, didn't walk anyone, struck out 2 batters. I saw some people freaking out, being like, oh, God, Severino doesn't look good in his first start. I don't give a crap. He could have given up 50 runs as long as his arm and shoulder and back and lat muscle and neck muscle and whatever the hell else was bothering him feels good on Monday morning, I am fine.
Yeah. Nobody cares about the results except for the medical results and how his body feels. Those are the true results. If he feels good, he feels confident in throwing that ball, he's coming back the next day with normal soreness. Those are the things you're looking for. You're not looking for any kind of a line score. Who cares? It's not what he's there for. He's there to pitch. He doesn't care about the results. He's just trying to be healthy.
No, he's working.
Just trying to go out there and feel
first
good.
Of all, so.
And he's working
on
his
pitches.
Yeah.
He hasn't faced game action all season.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's spring training for him. Do we care about what happens in spring training? No, that's what's happening.
It's going to be an accelerated spring training.
Yes, but I'm saying the results phase of spring training we don't care about. That's the thing. We just need guys to be healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, and they called up Dahl. Frazier's up. He played on Sunday. Chance Adams got called up. They activated Tyler Lyons. They signed him to a major league contract, put him on the 40-man roster. I think it's
traded McBroomy.
Traded your boy McBroomy to the Royals for cash. I think, though, you know, I was looking at the game in Scranton on Friday, and Montgomery pitched an inning and two thirds and gave up two hits. Also in that game, Ben Heller pitched two innings and Garcia pitched an inning. When, because I think both of those guys, especially Heller, could be a much needed bullpen arm right now. Like, wouldn't you have liked to see Ben Heller pitch the seventh inning today versus Ryan Dahl?
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
So why aren't we seeing Ben Heller called up?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is the 40-man
No, I know. We talked about
right?
it last week. He's still on the 60-day IL, which means he's not technically on the 40-man. But they just added Tyler Lyons to the 40-man. Who cares?
I understand that. But with Heller still throwing and the fact that he's on the injured list and still technically in a rehab, they're probably going to use up all the rehab or whatever it is so that he can still stay in that spot. It's just it's creating more roster flexibility. You have another arm.
I get it, but...
That's it. They're just shuffling things
he's
around.
He's got potential to be a dominant bullpen arm.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like with the rosters expanding now, we have like potential guys that can come up and be helpful, be very good and helpful. And guys, I want to see. I don't want to see Dull. No more of that. Please, can we just stop that? That was cool. No,
so are you gonna
don't ever
when
come
you,
back
when you when you're talking to Kemp in like, you know, 10 years, telling him about his first game, you'd be like. You saw the debut of Ryan Dull.
He didn't.
He was asleep.
Okay. He knew to go to sleep at the right time.
Yeah. He passed out and then woke up, I think, when Chance Adams was pitching. I gave him some cotton candy to really wake him up. He was like, look, kid, there's magic
sure,
in this
you gotta
place.
Get
there's magic in the Bronx.
A little sugar rush for the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning.
Yeah, yeah. I called it smelling salt on Twitter, but I was really just cotton candy getting him. It was
you
his
get,
version.
Like, angry parents never- tweeting you. Be like, what are you giving your kid?
He's never had cotton candy before. The first time I took my niece to a game, we had a cotton candy face picture, so we had to get the cotton candy face picture. He only had a little bit, so all you parents out there shaking your finger at me, it was a small amount of cotton candy, but it did the job.
Well, yeah, it's like 1,000% sugar.
Pure right. sugar. It was beautiful.
Do you like cotton candy?
I like, who? No. I can eat a little bit of it.
It hurts my teeth.
It doesn't hurt my teeth. It just gives me... My stomach will—it's just too much sugar.
So I have
I'm too old for.
I have a sensitive topic to discuss with you. Are you ready?
Like your teeth? That's good.
Yeah,
that's a good
yeah,
segue.
It was. Didi Gregorius has not been very good, and it's starting to become noticeable. So he's has a bigger sample size at this point. He's got a 90 WRC plus, a 94 OPS plus, both below league average. He's slashing .253, .286, and .461. I still love Didi's presence in the lineup, left-handed bat. He still hit a decent amount of home runs. He had the big grand slam in at the Dodgers, so he still had some big hits for the team.
I mean, did he not have a big hit today?
He had a big two-run single today to get them to within a run to help set up the comeback. But on Saturday, he was hitting third in the line. I don't want to hit him third right now either. Like, if you're going to keep him in the lineup, which I think they should... Put him a little bit lower. Let him figure it out because he still has not found his groove.
Let me ask you a question. We're right now playing for a playoff or a playoff rankings, essentially, right? That's what we're doing. We're jockeying for home field. But at the same time, we're trying to get our guys right, trying to get them healthy. Do you want Didi to hit at the bottom of the lineup right now or sandwich in between two guys where he's going to get some good pitches and be able to get his groove back?
I want him hitting seven.
I have no problem with him hitting anywhere. He's still DD. He could turn on at any second and get super hot. We've seen him get unbelievably hot, and it stayed for a while. And to me, he's going to get better pitches when he's sandwiched between two big guys that are, you know, going to be less attacked by pitching. They'll go after DD a little bit more, give him some more pitching. And we know we've identified this earlier. I think this year one of the struggles we saw with him, he's not taking the walks. He's not looking at the pitches like he was when he gets like super hot. So to me, I'm trying to get him better pitches so that he can make better decisions. And if I'm going to do that, I'm going to put him between two big hitters.
He's got a .286 on base percentage.
He's clutch. He got a huge base hit today.
If he does not turn it around and he's still about this league average hitter at the end of September, is there a world you could see them sitting him in the playoffs?
No.
Because the best offensive infield, if everyone's healthy, is Voit at first base, LeMahieu at second, Glaber at short, Gio at third.
Okay. Gio's not, I mean, that the best offensive.
That's
okay,
what I said.
So I'm looking, yeah, I know, I'm stalling is what I'm doing. And Didi Gregorius is the Yankee shortstop. Bottom line, that's it. He's a lefty bat. They need some complimentary lefty bats in this lineup. Didi's not going anywhere. I don't care if he's struggling. They're going to wait it out. They have another.
I told you it was sensitive. I told you it was sensitive. I didn't mean to trigger you. You're getting a little triggered.
Well, it's just no. I just you know what this is I know the reason we're talking about this is because there's chatter and so therefore it's a topic of conversation for some people. And what I will say to you and to them. Not to you, really, because we're just talking about this because it's a discussion.
Yeah, I don't think they should sit.
I know you don't. What I'm saying to everybody else who does think it, you have these people have no patience, none. It's baseball. You have to let these things play out. The timing and slumps can be extended, but you know what? The hot streaks can come on tomorrow. They can come on the next at bat, and they can stay for the rest of the playoffs, especially with a veteran guy like Didi, who we've seen it before. And he's a lefty bat, and he's a phenomenal defender, and he's a clubhouse leader, and he's freaking clutch as shit, even when he's got bad numbers.
He's got over two.
There's a 0% chance.
He's got over 260 plate appearances at this point. It's not a small sample.
Great. No, it's fine. I'm not worried about it.
Yet.
I'm not worried about it. Because you know what also I believe in? I do believe in clutch. I do believe in the moments that are bigger and some guys step up and some guys don't. And I think Didi is one of those guys. I want when I'm going into battle, I want that guy on my team.
Okay, so here's a different related question. So you said you want him batting in the middle of the order right now to help get him out of the slump because you want him.
I'm saying I have no problem with it.
But if he's still around league average and we're going into the playoffs and he has not figured it out yet, you're not batting him in the middle of the order, right?
No, you put your best lineup in there at that point. So what's happening at that point.
Because
I don't like the set lineups.
Okay, but so in the playoffs, I'm not going to even do an order right now. But what I think the Yankees, because their lineup has been so fluid this year, it's been right-handed heavy, but it hasn't even mattered because the righties have hit everybody. So it's like, who really gives a shit? Because they're just hitting. You just maximize plate appearances for your best guys, and that means guys who I want up more often than Didi, with the way he's hitting right now, are guys like Glaber, guys like obviously LeMahieu and Judge and Sanchez and Gio and Voit, if he's back and healthy, and Encarnacion if he's back and healthy. Stanton, if he's back and healthy,
maybe. No. That's the thing. Like when we see what the lineup will look like and what its potential is and who's available, then you make your best lineup at that point. But right now, when I'm trying to get a guy out and it really doesn't matter if he's hitting higher up, I have no problem with it at all. We're not at a point where we need to drop guys at this point in the season because they're not hitting, especially a guy like Didi. We need him going. We need to put him in situations where he can.
And you know
hit,
what?
Because that's our best.
The ironic forward. Thing is, this might be helping the Yankees in contract talks with him this offseason.
Well, I mean, he's put himself in a bad situation. He hasn't put himself in a bad situation. He's unfortunately in a situation that's not a strong place for him.
What did we say?
Because of the injury, because of the struggles.
Didn't we say?
Because of the fact that Glaber could play short.
Didn't we say? And Gio has turned into a potentially real third baseman, and LeMahieu is. Maybe the best defensive. He's the best defensive second baseman on their team.
He's the best defensive baseball player in baseball.
He's the best. He's the best baseball player. It goes Babe Ruth, DJ LeMahieu in Yankees legacy.
No, DJ LeMahieu is a better, much better defender.
Talking about in general. Right. Although Mike Ford's very Babe Ruth esque.
I mean, dude. that guy's hitting.
Was
bombs,
Babe Ruth?
Man.
Was Babe Ruth fat?
Yeah, Babe Ruth is
okay. So I mean, I think him.
Yeah, chicken
I think
legs.
I think him and Ford are in the same category.
Nah, dude, Mike Ford's got that girth down below. he's got the tree trunks.
Oh boy! Oh, he's got a tree trunk.
This
huh?
is terrible.
He's got a log.
Okay, multiple. Yeah, two of them.
Three against Texas, and then a 10-game road trip.
By the way, I've realized that we have very much younger audience listening after this weekend as well. I've met two very awesome. people, two awesome kids this weekend at Yankee Stadium who listened to the show. So watch your mouth.
You just said Mike Ford has is
tree trunks
thick,
for legs.
Thick
yes,
down
I
below.
Did. Yeah, tree trunks for legs.
We're going to get to mailbag questions. If you guys want to, a couple things. First of all, if you're going to submit mailbag questions, we do it every Monday. BronxPinstripes.com/podcast. Tweet us, Facebook, all the good stuff. You guys have been sending in some good mailbag questions. There's some fun and interesting ones that I'm looking forward to reading today. Also, give us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It's funny you said you met some people this weekend. So I met a couple people who were like, hey, I listened to the show and I've rated you. So they say it like, oh, I'm a real listener
just
because
so you
I've
know.
Given you 5 stars. And you know what I say? Thank you very much. I shake their hand. Yeah. I give them a cheers and we drink to that because it does help us out. And we say it in a joking way. But if you're a listener of the show for one episode, 10 episodes, 362 episodes, which I think there are some people out there who have listened to all 362, give us 5 stars.
No, absolutely. And that's one of the, it was just so much fun. Like the camaraderie that we're building with this, with the group too, that we have, it's been really just a ton of fun, man. And just getting to know people and, just even walk around like today, there was a boy and his dad that came out to me after the game and, listened to the show. Aiden, what's up, Aiden? Listens to the show. And, it's fun to meet these guys, you know, outside there and talk a little baseball and enjoy these walk-offs because these walk-offs are fun. Let's just keep having walk-offs every day.
That was the first Bronx Pinstripes walk-off.
Well, yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
It had,
dude, we didn't lose a game in the stadium. Knock on wood. We lost in Tampa, but you know,
God
who cares?
Damn it, Scott. You just, maybe we have to edit that out.
No, for the regular season. There was a regular season thing.
Okay. But we're
we have Andrew, these are facts here. We had 5 events. We won 5 games. Okay. That's it. Right. That's all I'm telling you.
Mailbags. Adrian, how do you guys think the lineup will be once we get Voit, Stan, Encarnacion, and Hicks back? We are crushing balls with what we have right now, and I feel like the guys coming off rehab maybe need more time to get into a rhythm. But in the playoffs, there's no waiting around. So we kind of just talked about the lineup when all guys are healthy. My question to you is, do you think we're going to see the quote-unquote full lineup? Because it seems like every time we take a step in the right direction, we get a step back. Like, the Voit comes back, Gio goes down. Like, how many times has this happened this year?
Yeah, I mean, do we even know what that full lineup looks like? Is that still a thing?
Like, I mean, on paper, we know what it looks like.
I understand that, but the fact that these guys... Well, maybe, really, because you could look at Gio Urshela's numbers and you're looking on paper, and they look pretty goddamn good.
No, Gio Urshela's in that full lineup.
No, I know, but Gio Urshela, look at what Mike Ford's been doing for the past.
I wouldn't say Mike Ford is the A lineup, but I think all the guys that Adrian listed, Voit, Stanton, Encarnacion, and Hicks, don't you agree? That's the A lineup.
Yes. What it does is it's put shreds of doubt and just confusion and complications to everybody who's making these decisions because of the guys. And it's a good problem. I know this, but how tolerant are they going to be when we see Giancarlo Stanton coming up with a week left, trying to get his rhythm back, striking out 5 times a game.
It's going to be mayhem. I think the Yankees are smart enough to take everything one step at a time and not overreact to anything, but fans are not.
Oh, I'm not worried about the team. The team has tough decisions to make. That's what they have. They have tough decisions to make. Fans are going to lose their minds over that.
Oh, yeah. Especially because Stanton is a lightning rod.
Yes, absolutely.
If it was Judge coming back and he goes, if Judge comes back in the middle of September, if he had come back last middle of September and sucked and went 0-50 going into the playoffs, people wouldn't be saying sitting Judge. They'd be saying Judge is going to figure it out.
Yeah. Because it's Aaron Judge.
Although there was a couple people.
There were some people talking shit about him this time.
Well.
You know, you slump long enough around here, you'll get the chatter.
Everyone gets booed once.
Or they'll just call you hurt.
Every Yankee gets booed once, I think. Jeter got booed once. Mariano got booed once.
Bernie?
Did Bernie get booed? I'm sure he got booed before 96 because there was some
Are you kidding
rough
me?
People in the bleachers back then.
There were some bad teams back then before 96, but Bernie was like a ray of hope with his glasses.
Rexpex?
No, he had glasses.
I do remember like straight up square mid-90s glasses. Kind of look like what I'm wearing right now.
They were squared
off. This question from Michael kind of dovetails with what you were just talking about with guys unexpectedly coming up. So he says, we've all seen how deep the Yankees are this year, and it looks like they are better at tapping into player potential than most teams in the league. What do you think they're doing from an organizational and coaching standpoint that allows them to get the most out of so many different players?
It's a really good question. It hasn't been this way. We've seen these phases come around. Like obviously when the 96 championship came, like you saw that next wave of guys coming up through the organization, and a lot of them played together. And that's what we've seen here. I mean, we've talked about this 1,000 times, how these guys have won at different levels. And you know, whether you care about championships in the minor leagues or not, the fact of the matter is these guys have all done this together. Like you see Mike Ford and now up with Judge and Sanchez, they all played together. They all were playing at lower levels in the minor leagues. A lot of these guys have played together in the minor leagues, which I think builds that core strength. Like how the talent evaluation has gotten better in the Yankees. I think that's just a blanket statement. I think they've done a better job at evaluating talent at lower levels and identifying who these guys are, and bringing them into their system and putting them through their workouts and keeping them on the right path. I don't know exactly what it is, but I can tell you that they've just improved personnel, I think, on identifying talent and developing that talent. You know, what that method is exactly, I don't know, but I think the personnel has made a tremendous difference.
I remember when you had Mike Petriello on the podcast back in whenever it was, like May, maybe, and he said that the Yankees invest more in the minor league analytics than most teams.
Yeah.
Which has helped them.
Ben Badler.
Oh, it was Badler, yeah, not
from Baseball
not
America.
Petriello. Okay. But so that has allowed them to identify maybe hidden gems like Luke Voit or Talkman.
I think so. Well, yeah, but I don't even know if we're talking about those guys.
Yeah, right?
That's part of it for sure. But when you're looking at the organizational depth and how much success these guys have come up, how many guys have come up through the system from starting in like low A ball have come up. And I know Mike Ford was a Rule 5, right, from Seattle.
Well, no, he was taken by Seattle and then Yankees got him back.
And then brought back. But I'm saying like he's come back.
I mean, he's 27 years old, I think, at this point. It's not like he's young prospect.
He's not a young guy. So, he started in the low A, the low minor leagues with the Yankees, and these guys have all come up together. So I don't know how to put your finger on like why these guys are all coming up and having success, but I can tell you is that because they've had success along the way and because they've been developed well by this coaching staffs along the way with the Yankees and their affiliates, it helps. It does, because they all play together well, and for whatever reason, I think that matters. Like you ask baseball analytics guys, they don't think that matters. You ask guys that I like Harold Reynolds, he'll tell you that matters.
I think
like,
it matters.
The baseball guys who actually play baseball thinks it
well,
matters,
and
I think it does.
I think it matters, and I also think the analytics matters. I think you can't get what the Yankees have had this year without a little bit of everything, and that everything also includes a little bit of luck.
Oh, for sure.
Because I think there's like another scenario where you play this season out and you have an all-star starting lineup go on the injured list in April, May, and June, and the Yankees are not best record in baseball.
Oh, well, yes, correct. I mean,
that's
probably the likely scenario.
Yes, they have worked to develop a lot of young talent, and they got contributions from undervalued players like Voit and Urshela and Talkman and Mike Ford and Tario Estrada. And like I there's been so many guys, Cameron Maben coming in from the minor leagues in Cleveland and giving them a boost. Like there's been countless guys that have helped this team get to the best record in baseball. But I think there is a scenario. I don't know if you know, some people can go conspiracy theory on you and say that we're all just living in a matrix and this is one of the paths that broke off and we're in the Yankees' best record path, but there's another parallel universe where the Yankees are middling around 500 and we all are just saying, well, they had so many injuries, what did you expect?
But the thing is also when you're looking at, we talk about luck, and I think luck takes a place in all sports, especially when you're talking about you know, injured guys, and then you hitting on another guy who's come up. But the fact that they've had so many of these guys hit and do well, and when I say hit, I don't mean offensively, like hit with their talent, and that have come up and contributed in such a positive way, it's hard to look at that as luck anymore, because now you're looking at these guys who got identified as such. They saw what they were, they saw what they saw, and they thought it could translate at a higher level. Well, they were right, and they were right a lot. They were right. Cashman and his guys who go out there and scan the minor leagues. And it's not like a lot of these, they're using a lot of these numbers, like the analytics, the fact that the Yankees spend more money, but a lot of stadiums don't have that stuff. So these teams, they can't see it. But for whatever reason, the Yankees spend a lot of money. They can identify certain things from different minor leagues.
Well, not for whatever reason, because they've put value in that stuff, and Cashman has convinced Steinbrenner.
I'm talking about when I say yeah, for whatever reason, I'm more of like yada 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 technology. The Yankees are better and spend more money.
No, but Cashman has clearly convinced Steinbrenner to say, it's not just spending money on payroll at the 25-man roster level. You have to spend on every level of like that book that I read earlier in the season about the Klappish book. Inside the Empire. I mean, they talked about all the investment they make in. It's not just the like I said, the salary, but it's the facilities, it's the classes they put these guys through. It's everything to make to maximize their potential and their possibilities on the field. But like, that starts with having a comfortable place to live and sleep and having healthy food instead of another Big Mac from McDonald's.
You went a little too far, because a funeral home in AAA is where some of our guys
they
are sleeping.
Said that article said it is some of the nicest place to rent.
Nicest funeral home I could
find. It's a slump buster.
That's true. It is a slump buster. But no, it does. It's a look. It's,
and I heard there's a gas station that sells some goods right across the street.
Oh my God. A world-class organization, top to bottom. But what I think has made such a bigger difference is the evaluation of talent. Because we've always been a world-class organization. They've always done the right thing in a lot of ways. But they have not been able to identify talent for a while. We've had a big drought in our minor league system. And for whatever reason, is that I think we have better talent evaluators, better scouts, more scouts, more technology that are seeing the numbers that maybe we hadn't seen before. So yes, they've invested more of that. They've gotten better at that. And I think that's been paying dividends big time.
What's the cliche quote? It's luck is preparation meeting opportunity. You ever heard that?
Yes,
I think that's what we've just been.
Opportunity. Yeah,
I mean, luck. It's not just that. I can't just go out on the field and get lucky and hit a home run, right? I have to prepare. Like, you have to put some preparation towards that. So yes, the Yankees maybe have gotten a little lucky this year, but it's also everything they've put in to put themselves in that position.
Yes, you have to be ready for those opportunities. It's just like in the field, right? You gotta react, not think. Be ready.
The next one is...
I can't. My voice is...
Yeah, we're almost done. Don't worry. The next one is from Shannon Corcoran, who is a.k.a. Greg Bird's number one fan. Shannon has called in the voicemail line before. She's been to a couple events. She was maybe one of the only people to buy that Greg Bird Hairless Cats t-shirt, and I've seen her rocking it a few different times.
She was wearing this recently. We were talking about it. I've talked to her a few times behind the scenes too about some Greg Bird stuff.
Intern Sean from George's Box are maybe the two only Greg Bird fans left on Earth.
It's possible. Yeah, we should introduce them so that they can nerd out on Greg Bird.
She says, "Can we please talk about how painful it was to have to watch Mike Mussina get driven around Yankee Stadium? I have not seen such an awful display of awkwardness since the opening remarks of his Hall of Fame speech when he attempted to counter Joe Torre's joke about him always being monotone. By the end of the ordeal, I find myself both horrified and mystified that he did A, not fall off the cart and become the 28th Yankees player to land on the IL this season, and B, not run away upon learning that he had to go sit in the booth with his arch nemesis Michael Kay for some reason." Shannon Corcoran, a.k.a. Greg Bird's number one fan, a.k.a. Mike Mussina's biggest hater.
Yeah, she hates him. This is clear. So I was...
You were there. You were in the stadium. What did you see from the stands on the Mike Mussina stuff?
Yeah, it was a little weird. It was like, you know, it kind of like happened. It all of a sudden, like, he was going around in a golf cart. Like,
did you know about this surprised. Going into today's game?
Yeah,
they didn't
I found
make
out
a huge
it.
Deal about it. Like,
no,
I think
they did
I
not.
Saw.
Well,
they, yes,
to tell you the truth, I don't think they made a big deal out of the Mariano thing either.
No, but I mean, I knew the Mariano thing was happening. I kind of was taken by surprise. Like, oh yeah, it's Mike Messina Day today at the stadium. I guess. Like, I think maybe Yes showed a commercial or two about it last week.
Here, the feeling that I got in the stadium is that not many people cared, that he was going around in a golf cart. That was a little, I thought that was a little strange. Like, I don't think that was necessary, the golf cart thing. But he just got into the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, and he was a very good New York Yankee.
Didn't win a World Series.
Did not win a World Series. Did win 20 games. That was his last year, right? But it was cool. I mean, like, we had a Moose chant. Kemp gave a Moose chant. He even did it. That was cool. I went out and watched it for a little bit and then went back in. I listened to some of the things he was talking about. I thought he was fine. Like, I think people just don't like his personality in the beginning because he's so dry and monotone. And I think people think he's just like very like just snobby. Like, I feel like that people just get rubbed the wrong way with him, his personality. And you know, I think he's snapped back at some people too. Obviously, there's that with Michael Kay. There's that's been well documented that they don't probably don't like each other very much. But you know, I didn't think it was terrible. Shannon's taking it to another level. She was horrified and mystified. I think she was going in with some feelings. That's what I think about that.
So I don't know how you can watch the Mike Messina thing. I don't know how you can have this strong of an opinion on Mike Messina, to be honest.
Right. We know Frank Marco writes for our site, is weirdly obsessed with him for some reason, I guess. He didn't say anything
about it. So Mike Messina is a borderline Hall of Famer for me. That doesn't mean he sucks, but that's kind of just what he...
No, that means he's good, Andrew. That means he's good.
But,
means he's
but
a very
people
good
think,
player.
Like I say, because he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame or he's a borderline Hall of Famer, I'm saying that he sucks. Because everything is black and white, Scott, when you're on social media. Everything is black and white. Either Mike Messina is the greatest pitcher of all time or he's trash. Those are the only two opinions that you can have on social media about him. But the fact of the matter is, he's vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, he doesn't do it. It's not exciting. You know, it's Mike Messina who's out there. They had the plaque. That was the Cooperstown plaque, I assume, that he was out there like standing next to. Joe Torre was there. I always like hearing from Joe. You know, so it was fine. The golf cart thing is dumb in the first place anyway, to me. Like,
they did it for the 98 game last year.
They're just trying to show the fans, and you go around giving high fives. Messina did that. He gave some high fives to people. I'm sure it made their day. You know, it was nice.
I think Shannon's overreacting. Shannon, can you write us back and tell us why you hate him?
Yes, because there's a reason.
Better call up the voicemail line, 646-480-0342. Tell us why you're such a Mike Messina hater. We're going to play it next week.
Yeah.
Last one is from Melissa. Her Twitter handle is at HannahBell2121. Why is your name Melissa and then Hannah Bell on Twitter? Anyway. Why do baseball players chew tobacco during games? It should become illegal to chew tobacco on the field. They don't know. Don't they know what happened to Tony Gwynn? This one's out of left field, so I had to include it.
So obviously there's a whole thing. Well, so funny enough, they banned dip for a while. You couldn't show it. You couldn't see it. You couldn't do a lot of these things. You know, the guys were basically hiding it. We wouldn't show it on camera. Now we're seeing, like, I've seen it a few times.
I mean, you've
like
seen the meme of CeCe putting like an entire friggin' like dump truck of chew into his mouth. And LeMahieu.
They put Mike, I've seen Mike Ford doing it,
like,
too.
Our LeMahieu machine shirt has a little packed lip on that shirt.
It's not little. I went back and edited from a suggestion that I thought was a great suggestion that I was mad I didn't think about it in the first place, but I got nothing wrong with people calling out and I'll make adjustments. I went back to that design and I added a hammer right into the right spot. I must have stared at that dip, the lip in his the bump in his lip for way too long to get that thing right. So yeah, it's there and it's real. Why do they do it? Because they like tobacco. I don't know what to tell you. Some guys like tobacco. It's a thing in baseball. Some guys chew seeds. They're grown-ass men. If they want to chew tobacco, they can chew tobacco. I have no opinion on that. If you want to tell your kids not to to chew tobacco, and if they notice it and say something, that's an educational moment. Maybe we teach them, not always a great thing to do, you know. I don't think they try to put it on television all the time. I don't think the guys are like, hey,
no, it's usually kids, by accident that you get like,
yeah, it's an accident, and they don't like it. I can guarantee they probably don't like it. They don't want it to be talked about. They don't want to like bring attention to it. It's just something they do.
Yeah,
I got no problem with it. And then the whole Tony Gwynn thing, like, yeah, obviously it's extremely unfortunate that Tony Gwynn took the bad side of the head, what, throat cancer.
It was. I just looked it up. It was Salvatore gland tumor, obviously caused by the dip.
Something bad that was probably caused the chewing tobacco didn't help matters in that. It was bad. I'm not advocating it. So, you know,
okay,
what I mean?
Scott, like, you are not a dip. You are not advocating dip. Gotcha. Read you loud and clear.
Yeah. Would not do that.
What is your opinion on stadium proposals? Because we had that little moment on Friday night at the game where there was a in-stadium proposal. There was actually an in-stadium proposal on Saturday too.
Yeah,
but
there was.
I just happened to, not me. So I do have to give video credit to Leanne. She was taking the video at the time. She was pissed I didn't give her video credit on Instagram.
Yeah, why would you? You're supposed to do that. That's a thing.
I told her that's part of you. She's just part of the content cog.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, none of us get.
I said, hey, how'd you get into this game? Who provided you the tickets?
That's true. Good point.
She caught on the Jumbotron. They showed the proposal, and then Glaber was coming up to bat. He was leading off the inning, and they just caught him shaking his head. So everyone in the stadium thought he was shaking his head because of the stadium proposal. Maybe he was shaking his head because I think the in-between inning took like an extra 15 seconds or something like that. So like they had to wait for him to go approach his at-bat.
He already said something about it. He said that the catcher said something to him and he was shaking his head like it was a bad joke or whatever.
But the joke was probably like, you got to be a real shithead to propose in a stadium.
Probably.
So, yeah. And he's like, oh, I have nothing against marriage. No one's saying you got anything against marriage, bro. You have something against...
He's a happily married guy.
Yep. So are you. I'm about to be. Nothing wrong with marriage. I got problems if you're proposing
in a stadium.
So to
be clear, we're not advocating chewing tobacco or smoking for that matter. And marriages are a good thing. So, no. Would I ever in a million years do a stadium proposal? Hell no. Hell no. First of all, it's very risky. Very risky. Remember the kid that dropped the ring and then couldn't find it? That happened last year or two. I thought it was a Yankee game. You dropped the ring and like they couldn't find the ring. Like
yes.
Now what do you do? Okay, you just dropped however much you spent on that. Probably a significant
if
your
guy's
amount of
proposing
money
at a stadium, you probably spent like $1,500 on that.
To him, it was probably a lot of money. To everybody who spent money on a ring, probably a good amount of money. Anyway, a lot of things can go wrong. You never know. Too many people around you that could be just a bunch of assholes and screw it up, you know, just way too many things that could go wrong. I like more of a controlled situation. And you know what? Like if there's that possibility that girl says no, you just did that in front of, you know, 50,000 people.
Yeah. And that's why she's pressured to say yes.
She doesn't mean it. She's
like, okay,
now you don't know
I'm
going
to have to talk to you. So I was just Googling this. So you've seen this graphic of all of the different costs at each baseball game to propose at a baseball game. Have you seen that graphic?
Okay. I don't know.
So the most expensive one is Dodger Stadium. It costs $2,500 to propose it at Dodger Stadium. Costs $100 at Yankee Stadium.
$100? That's it?
Yep.
It costs $2,500 because it's Hollywood, right? So they're probably like, they probably get these jackasses that do it like every game. So they had to bump the price up to get rid of all the F-list actors to get up on their jumbo.
It cost $39 at Pirate Stadium.
I mean, you might as well get married every week.
The following stadiums do not allow it, which I respect: Blue Jays, Angels, Royals, Orioles, Mets. Do not allow it. Good for those guys.
The Mets is surprising. Feels like a Mets thing to do.
Right. They need the Wilpons need the extra money
but
in their pocket.
Honestly, if you're trying to make this decision and you're looking at it and you're like, this is a really good decision, you should take a step back and then just know that it's not a good decision. And that she will probably not like it and she will feel pressure. And when you leave that stadium, whether there's a ring on her finger or not, and especially if there is a ring on her finger, you won't really know if she meant it. Because there were 50,000 people there giving her pressure to say yes at that moment. You won't know if it was real.
I'm sure there's a girl out there who this is her dream to be proposed to at a baseball game. If she's a diehard fan of that team, and like that might be her dream. But unless you're marrying that girl, don't do this.
You better damn well know that's that girl. You better damn well know it's that girl.
Well, you better know.
And then don't screw it up. And then hopefully everybody.
So you shouldn't propose if you're unsure about the answer.
I'm not getting into this conversation when people should propose when they shouldn't. There are feelings that matter here. Just don't do it at a stadium. Just don't.
Don't dip. Don't propose at a stadium. Any other do's or don'ts on this show, Scott, that you want to get off your chest?
I'm too tired. Okay. I got nothing else. I got nothing else.
We're going to tap out then. Very fun weekend. Thank you to everyone who came out to the event on Saturday. I saw a few other people in and around Yankee Stadium on Friday at that game as well. There's going to be a playoff event. Like you said, keep an eye out for those for that email information. Scott, I'm going to let you go to bed unless you have last words.
It was just a fun weekend. That's I'll just cap on to that. Again, like these events, we've talked about this a zillion times. Just so much fun seeing everybody. It's just every. I feel like every time it just gets better because we see a lot of the same faces now. There's a lot of repeat people now, and I really do hope that if you've come, you'll come back.
Tell friends to come. I met some people this weekend.
Tell your friends. Yeah.
I was talking to this group of girls, and one of them is a fan of the show, and the others had really no clue. They just wanted to come to a fun event, so that's why they were there.
Yeah, and I saw her tweet something out about that and saying that they are now hooked. So that's the thing. Bring your friends out. It's the more the merrier. That's the bottom line. And the more we have, and we can grow with this. Again, it's just kind of it's like dominoes. The more we can throw things back to the community, and that's what we're doing here.
Barbara was the
biggest,
person.
Biggest.
I was trying to think of her name, Barbara. And I meet, so I tell people this when I meet them. Like I recognize your face. I remember our conversation. I'm bad with names.
All right, we'll get better with names.
I'm working on it, Scott.
That's it.
All right. You done?
Peace.
We'll talk.
I'm done. That's it.
We'll talk to you.
Wait, see you guys. We're freaking exhausted.
Talk to you Thursday.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
I must be out, or I pick up the phone.
Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
Guys, what's going on? Kevin from VP Crew Western New York. I mean, what's going on up here? The Athletics? Kryptonite, come on. 4.5 nasty Nestor? Doesn't look good either. Cody Kotap Garen? I don't know. This isn't gonna get it done right now. This bullpen is it's brutal, guys. It's brutal. The Athletics 0-4. If they don't take them that last two, I'd be a little bit worried about them in the playoffs. It's not good to see. I mean that toe tap's annoying. Nasty Nestor shouldn't be on the playoff roster. Boone just punted this one into the sun and had no interest in it, but I think you need to bounce back and try to grab two because this is an abomination. I mean, who would you rather play, the Astros or the Athletics right now? Man, let's see if we can clean this thing up. All right, later, boys.
Yeah, you know why I love this team? Because we're done, but never out. We're fucking savages. We get in that box.
What's up, guys? This is Paul in Harlem. I went from never being at a walk-off home run game to now being at two in a row. Yesterday, I had to sneak in section 205 in the ninth inning just to celebrate with you guys because I knew that walk-off was coming. There's something special about this team. This is our year. Let's go, Yankees.
Dylan Hyphen Shrivers with Eric from Syracuse. And congrats to the Yankees for taking two out of three in a very playoff-like atmosphere this weekend. A special shout out to the savages in the eighth and ninth inning that totally bailed out that fucking nerd that told Boone to start that dull kid. What the fuck was that all about? And it's such a great contrast to see Luke Boy waving at a fish in the dirt. Oh, yeah, JD did swing. I don't fucking know. He fucking sucks. Four comes through the walk-off. I just hope Stan doesn't come back. Someone kneecapped that motherfucker. Stan and Boy, get the fuck off this team. Later.
Hi, my name is Patricia from Staten Island, big time Yankee fan. I was at yesterday's game and put a game. That's all 11 innings, a nail biter, sit it on the edge of your seat kind of game. Fantastic. So glad to be able to take this series from the A's at home in the Bronx. Our Bombers did it. Never say never. They did it. I love it. And at the game yesterday, I kept thinking I'm going to be 69 in 3 weeks. I'm getting too old for this. But never too old to be a Yankee fan. Go Yankees.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.